Recording is on.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We are today with Leo, and he will be telling us about three things that you need to know about buying a home or purchasing a home. So we want to thank you for taking time of your day to join us in this podcast webinar at the same time. So we're recording the podcast and also the webinar simultaneously. Good morning, Leo. Welcome back to Blank Professional Service Podcast. I'm glad that you join us and that you're going to share your knowledge with us and the public. And I'm pretty sure people are going to get really excited today.
Thank you, Blanca. Thank you for having me again. Pleasure to come on board and discuss and do some educational videos in hopes to better educate the community that we're serving, the people that we're serving, and hopefully make the process easier for them and as well as for us also.
That's right. So let me introduce you properly. So this is Leo Jordan. He is the home mortgage specialist for Housing America. And you can give him a call at 818-389-6666, and that is on his mobile, so he's always available, you know. And if he's not, then he will give you a call whenever he is. So let's get it started, Leo. And what are we covering today? What are the three things that we need to know to purchase a home?
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about three things to do when you are thinking about purchasing a home. This, of course, doesn't need to be until the day that you're ready to start the process. As a matter of fact, these are things you should start considering well before you are actively purchasing, so that way you position yourself for the best possible solution once you are in that purchasing, actively looking to purchase. So big picture, we're not going to get too details into very much specifics of each loan program, each requirement. At the end of the day, you're always encouraged to reach out to a specialist, lending specialist, or real estate agent to get you the best details and up-to-date numbers you need. This will be kind of educating you to understand where you should start at least. So the first option is going to be watching your credit. So as one of the biggest indicators of do I qualify for a mortgage, is going to be your credit score and every detail that comes with that credit report that's pulled for you. It's going to be a hard pull that your lender will have to do once they're in the market to qualify you, right? So it has a huge effect on qualification, whether you can even obtain this loan or not, as well as the pricing of your loan. So meaning someone with a much higher credit score might have better loan options, better rates than someone with the opposite end of that spectrum. So it's important to know your current score and to be able to continue to pay off any of the debt bills you may have so that you can maintain a strong score.
Right.
It's also a good idea to check your score. If there are any mistakes affecting your credit that need to be disputed. Oftentimes we come across when we're ready to move forward with the client and we pull the credit, there'll be sometimes even very small collection accounts or disputes that have not cleared from their credit score or credit report that is causing a negative effect both on the score as well as their eligibility. Yeah. So it's always good to have that information handy and be able to combat that way before it's almost too late to do, right?
Right.
What do we mean by that? Something that most consumers don't know outside of your paid or some of those Credit Karma options that may be free and they'll give you understanding of where your credit score may be today. You actually have, as a consumer, you have the right to request one free copy of your credit report each year from the three major credit reporting agencies. Who are they? The three major credit reporting agencies are Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Those three, each one will have an opinion of what your credit score is, and they'll give you details of your trade lines that are currently active and the previous ones. So sometimes there are times that whoever you have the debt with or dispute with will only report it to one agency. So you may, let's say, for instance, look at Experian, TransUnion only, and not realize that Equifax has a whole different opinion of your credit because so and so only reported to Equifax. So it's important to know what all three of those are looking like. As a lender, generally, we will obtain all three of those scores, and normally we'll look at the middle score. So your lowest one kind of falls off, and then your highest one is also not looked at. We looked at the middle one to get a good average of, okay, we're not giving you the best case, not the worst case. This is what you truly the medium is. And when there are multiple borrowers, we will look at the lower of those two medium scores. So it's important to know all three. I'll share how you can obtain this. The easiest way to remember, it's annualcreditreport.com. It is a free report that you can receive one full copy every 12 months, once a year. It's definitely a good idea to get a jump start on that. There's no cost to you, no negative effect. I can share the details of the how you can. So best way to go about it is going from, are you able to see, let me change my screen so you can see the let me stop sharing and then I'll do the information so that our listeners can also write down the
The number and the way they need to connect with the credit bureaus.
exactly. So let's share this here. All right, so here are how you can get a copy of your credit score. Is the easiest way will be visiting annualcreditreport.com. You can also call and request that to be sent in, or request with a form that's available, download and complete the annual credit card request form, mail it to their agency here, which will then send you copies of all three reports once a year. Again, free of cost to you, we'll get you the most accurate number compared to the Credit Karmas or such. This one will give you a much better understanding of what your scores are, and that way you can go from there. So at the high end, if you are a top of the line creditor, you're probably looking at a number that's going to be in the 800s. If you are and on the lower end, something, if you see your score is there, you want to possibly look into doing something better, is if you're already below 700s, there's definitely room to improve. So you certainly want to get a head start on that. So part of the services that we provide currently here to our clients is, if you are looking into starting the process with us, we are able to use a program we have which tells us what you need to do exactly with each of the three different credit reporting agencies to improve your credit. So for instance, we have a client whose score is at 698, right? That's just two scores away from the 700 score, which may improve their credit or their loan options by a lot. And 2 points is, of course, you don't want to miss out on great opportunities just by 2 points. So we will run the report on yours, and I'll basically tell you exactly. Now, it's not obviously 100%, but it'll give us approximation of, if you lower your so-and-so, let's say you have a Discovery card that's showing 800 balance, the report will say if you pay down that 800 to a $300 balance, you're not have to completely pay it off. But if you're able to bring that down to 300, it'll cause your credit score to jump maybe 10 to 15 points. So by doing so, we're now able to take you from a 600 level of pricing and qualifications to someone who's at the top tier one pricing and options. So certainly something that does take a little bit of time. It's not, of course, overnight. You'd have to make the payment. We'd have to give it a few days. It doesn't take months. On usual end, within a few days, we're able to do to get the new scores and see that improve. And then on the slower end is, I think American Express takes a little bit longer to update, but certainly we are able to improve. So what you have today is doesn't have to be the last point of it. We can definitely work together and improve that. That's why, again, it's important to get a head start on that and know where you stand, and then work with us professionals to see how we can improve on that. The last part, what goes with credit, is trying to avoid making any sudden movements, sudden changes to your credit, opening any new lines of credit right before when you're about to purchase, or even worse is when you have family members that are co-signing for a cousin, for a relative, thinking, oh, just because that person is also on the loan, I'm just a co-signer, it's not going to affect you. It sure is. If you are co-signing for any kind of loan, any kind of debt, the reason why you're required to be on the note, for instance, or part of that process is possibly the other individual doesn't have enough credit to qualify on them. So
Right. The
reason they qualified is because you're also financially liable for that loan. If the other individual stops paying, the lender is also going to tell you, hey, I need to collect this amount from you, and I'll ultimately cause you to show delinquency, ruin your credit, go into collections and such. So, hey, always be careful who you do that for, and certainly avoid doing that when you're in the process, especially if you've already pre-qualified, pre-approved. Your debt is playing a huge role in that. Adding debt is only going to make the process more difficult. So Okay. Avoid any kind of obtaining new credits, even applying for a credit card, even if you don't care to hold a balance on it. When you're applying, it's going to cause a red flag if you're already in escrow or in a purchase process, because, well, why are you requesting additional debt? Is there something we don't know about? So it causes red flags, which is what you want to avoid.
Right. And then it makes it difficult, and then it gets frustrating, because then it could cause, you know, the home buying process to stall and cause so much delay and things like that. So
correct.
Yeah, so I'm really absolutely happy that you are sharing that information with a lot of our clients, because we know that, you know, not too many people know how to access their credit report, and sometimes they don't know what is in there, and so it's always good, you know, to review it and just make sure they have the correct information on the person.
Exactly.
And then and then one more question for you, because I have recently been asked by one person, when you're purchasing a home, you know, you have to run your credit. So this person was a little concerned about if that affects his or her credit, you know, while they're purchasing, they're trying to compare rates with different lenders. So how does that work?
Yeah, so of course everyone knows anytime you do a hard pull, you're gonna have a small ding in your credit, 2, maybe 5 points, I would say max, right? That's like saying, I wanna save on gas, so I'm not gonna go to work. Well, then you're gonna lose income by not going to work, right? So sure, the credit score is encouraged to always make sure that it's at top shape, but there are times that you do need to use it in order for you to get from point A to point B. You're renting right now, you wanna get from renting to buying, we have to pull your credit to know if you qualify or not.
Right.
2 to 5 points is generally not going to make or break your credit score. The added bonus, I guess, or the safety net I can provide is, if we see you're within range of getting to the next level, free of cost, I can tell you, hey, your score is 780. I can get you to your score is 680. I can get you to 720 by doing these 3 small changes to your balances, or pay off one thing, or call and dispute something that is incorrectly reported and said. So sure, they'll come down 2 to 5 points. And then we can definitely even improve your credit by, and usually when we do see a path that will improve your score, it's not just gonna be 2 to 5 points, it's gonna be 10, 15, 20 points increase. So keep that in mind. And then something to add an insurance for all consumers to keep in mind is, the industry understands that when you're buying a mortgage, it's not just a car loan where you're going to pay it off shortly, or it's not going to make or break your bank account. We understand that it's important to find the perfect product for you. So when a lender pulls your credit for the next 30 days, any other lender that pulls your credit is not going to negatively affect the score. So those other lenders will still show up on your hard inquiry list of lenders. So I'll say, you know, that Leo Jordan with House America, I'll say House America pulled it on this day, and then let's say four other lenders pull the credit within the next 2 weeks. The scores that they're gonna get is the same score that I received, except when they pull it, they'll see who else is also in addition to pull it. So the name will be there, but it's not gonna affect your credit anymore. It's just that first initial pull that will have a very small ding. So don't be afraid to make that step and get the credit pull just to save your credit score. When are you saving it for? For you to be able to afford the right mortgage. So use that and use the resources to improve it, and keep in mind, based on industry, you're even encouraged to shop around. Make sure you're finding the best product for you. Thus, they make sure that your score is not affected, give you a nice 30-day window for you to shop around and find the right product.
That's very good. Yeah. Well, thank you for the answer, because, you know, many cases that prevents people from actually talking to a home mortgage lender, because they're afraid, you know, every time they're going to see my credit, then it's going to take the points out. So that's good. So let's move on to the next, the three things, you know, the second thing that we need to know.
Yeah, so gathering important your documents is huge, especially since in some cases some are quicker to find, some are not as quick to gather, right?
So yes.
You want to take some time now before you're already fully committed to the purchase. Let's say you've already fallen in love with the property. You want to start now before all of that to start collecting some of the information needed. So if you want to avoid the scrambling for those paperwork very last minute, especially if some of those are going to be harder to find, and I'll tell you what may be the harder to find or what are some cases you come across, right? And it's going to be different based on loan programs, based on lender, based on even the type of investor we're using on your loan. Of course, they're all going to be a little bit different, but at the end of the day, the income needs to be verified in almost all cases outside of the non-QM loans. So how do we collect your income? Mm-hmm. Is we collect a certain documents. Some of them are going to be your W-2 forms from your past employers for the past 2 years. So generally, when we're looking at, when it comes to your residency history and your employment history, the lenders will always require you to provide 2 years of consistent information. So that means if you've switched a couple residency primary homes renting each year, you switch places, you'll probably have to give us the addresses of the previous ones as well. Same thing with your previous employment. So that could be one of the documents that you may not be able to obtain as easily if you have switched a few jobs in the past 2 years, right? Let's say you've worked for two. Now you're on to your third employer within the last 2 years, which is common.
Yes.
For you to be able to go back and for your current employer, you probably have a quick and easy HR site you log into where you're able to see your current pay stubs. And then if they're in historic W-2s are generally listed there as well. But your previous employer that you're no longer in a relationship with, you're no longer as I have as many login information or an HR person sitting across the desk from you or across the hall from you, it's going to be harder to obtain. So those are one of the documents that, hey, when you do get it, but before passing it on to your accountant or maybe even filing it away, make sure you know where you're putting it, or be organized, scan it, keep it in a folder in your desktop, and just have that ready for when you want to. Just remember the last two, right? Right now, if you're applying for a mortgage, you're going to provide the lender with your 2022 and 2021 W-2s. Those W-2s will show you how much you made that entire year. So when we're looking at jobs that the bonuses go out at different times, right? Right now, we're in the first quarter. If your bonuses are paid quarterly, your current paycheck is not going to show that full amount. It's just going to show your hourly rate or whatever you've made full January and parts of February. Whereas your W-2 from last year is going to show off four of those quarterly bonuses combined with your income. Okay. So that way we can see what that true number is. The pay stubs, you know, it's a simple rule. They always want to see 30 days. So they always say, how many pay stubs do I need to provide? It's not an easy answer of one or two, because it depends on your job, right?
Right, right.
Some government or teaching or county or state jobs pay once a month sometimes.
Yes.
So you'll have one paycheck that will cover the entire 30 days.
Right.
You have people who are weekly, bi-weekly, and semi-monthly.
Right.
Sometimes most people don't know the difference between bi-weekly, semi-monthly. Bi-weekly is the one that you always get paid on the same day of the week, skipping one in between, right? So let's say if you always get paid every other Friday, you're a bi-weekly. That means every other week, regardless of the date on that Friday, you're going to get paid, and then skip one, get paid again. Whereas semi-monthly doesn't care about the day of the week, just takes beginning and mid-month or mid and end of the month to get you your paycheck. So generally it'll be paid on the 1st of the month and then on the 15th of the month,
mm-hmm.
or 1st of the month and 16th of the month. It has nothing to do with which weekday it was. It has to do with how that month is split into two paydays. So those two, generally if they're one of those semi-monthly, generally two will cover. With bi-weekly, sometimes you may need three pay steps to cover the full 30 days, right?
Yes.
And then weekly, obviously, your chances are you're gonna need four. So to answer that question, easiest way to remember is Leonard wants to see 30 days of pay. You figure out how many pay steps you'd have to give for the starting date to the next one's end date is full 30 calendar days.
Right. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's generally going to request a bank statement, right? Whether you're putting 20% down or whether you're going with one of our down payment assistance programs where you don't need to put as much down, the closing costs were not the in most cases, we're going to need to see your assets, current assets, to make sure you are able to even start the escrow process, right? As soon as you go into escrow, you have to wire a certain amount to the escrow company. So they're going to need to see 2 months of those bank statements to ensure, okay, last 2 months he's had the $20,000 in his account. We're going to use $5,000 for closing costs, $15,000 for down payment. Then this checks out. So usually you're going to need to provide two bank statements. If you're starting on earlier on in your bank statements, try to simplify it. If you get a cash gift from your aunt for your birthday, and you normally those you deposit it into your checking, maybe don't deposit it. Keep it in your pocket. Put it in the piggy bank at home. Use it to buying groceries, pumping gas, or whatnot. Just simplify your bank statements for those 2 months, so there's less things you need to address with the underwriter once they take a look at it. Because once they see a source of income coming in, you're going to be questioning, what is the source? Do we need to count it? Is it regular? Is it something we can verify? Et cetera, et cetera. So less confusing factors, less questions you have to answer, less letters of explanations you may need to provide. So as much as you can, simplify your bank statements.
Right.
And then I
think they can ask for gift cards.
Right. Or like gift letters, yeah. If you're able to avoid it, of course, if it's something you need to deposit it,
right.
Go right ahead. But if you're able to avoid something small, that'll just make it easier.
Right, that's exactly true. You know, usually that's what happens. So they want to have a good inventory, what's coming in, what's coming out. And then they ask you for proof. Sometimes, you know, it's something that it could be easy, trackable. But sometimes if you forget, then that becomes an issue. And, you know, so yeah, I think that tip is really good. So I really like that tip.
Yeah. And then you're gonna have to bring your personal tax returns from the past 2 years. This again becomes something that it may or may not be a very easy document to obtain, right? Let's say if you're always work with a tax accountant, you may be able to get them very quickly if your accountant has enough support to be providing that. When it's tax season, accountants usually have meetings from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. They're meeting with clients, so they may not be as responsive. If it's something you're doing over the weekend, they may not be working that weekend. And then if you've done it electronically yourself using different, let's say, those websites that you're able to submit it yourself, You want to make sure that you have your login information. You do go in there, download a copy of it. If you use a different one for 2020 versus 2021, you want to make sure that you have both of those websites updated, the passwords available for you to go in there and download your old tax returns.
Right, right.
Something lenders often will look at as a kind of to match with your W-2 will be the last paycheck you received in the previous year, right? So, for instance, with the, we're especially in the beginning of the year, that kind of puts validates your income as well. So sometimes they may ask for last year. Again, if you've changed employers, might be a little bit harder. You might have to call 800 number, just wait for someone to respond to their old employee. So might be a little different. Asset statements is the next item. Oftentimes, depending on the down payment you're providing, loan amount you're providing, the debt to income ratios you may be having, investor wants to see, let's say, that your we call reserves, mm-hmm. which is outside of what you bring in every month, what do you have saved? It doesn't have to be just a cash deposited into a savings account. It could be your 401k statements. It could be stock options that you personally have, different types of verifiable income.
Right.
So again, that's one of those that, let's say if you know you have an account with E-Trade but don't know where your login is, and you know you have quite a bit just long-term investments put aside, that's something that you want to make sure you have your password credentials properly ready, so you can provide a copy to show that, okay, I'm requesting for this. I have, you know, if everything else fails as far as my career and my income goes, I can always take the come out of this entire investment. I have 200,000 combined to be able to continue affording this out. So that's all. It's given another safety net to the lender to give their money to you to make sure that, you know, they are able to see more than one way you're able to pay it back, just in case things go wrong.
Right.
And then lastly will be to for verification purposes, you'll need to provide a driver license or any kind of government issued ID. Could be just California ID rather than the driver license, passport, something where we can make sure that we check for your identification and everything is in line for when the notary has to come to your home as the very last stage to sign the documents for you. So those are certainly the bare minimum of documents you'll probably have to have handy to make sure that you can at least start the process. Now, if you're self-employed, there's going to be definitely more taxes provided, right? You're going to have to provide your business tax returns as well as your personal tax returns. So there's always going to be additional items. But yeah, so someone would say, well, I'm self-employed. I don't have W-2s. That's understandable. They're not going to request a document from you that you're not able to provide, but there's things instead they'll ask for, right? So they'll ask for. And for self-employed, you're considered self-employed as long as you own 25 or greater percentage of that company. So they'll always take a look at K-1s. If you're only a 2% owner at a company, you're not. That's not considered your company. You just get a bonus share there. But if you're 25% or more owner, you'll be able to use that as your self-employed income. Generally, self-employed will require 2 years history, but again, there's always exceptions. There's always different loan programs. So for instance, if you were a mechanic hourly worker for 10 years and now you decided to open up your own mechanic shop, mm-hmm. and now you've started business, there's always ways we can work and say, okay, been in the business for 10-15 years, 1 year is self-employed, and you can see he's doing better. There's ways to work around that, get with your lender to provide the details and what's needed. But generally, especially if you're thinking about buying, let's say in 2022, maybe hold off on a huge career shift so that you can accomplish one goal and then move on to the next one. Sometimes doing both at the same time may not be the best option for you. It may disqualify the income that you have. So okay. Certainly discuss with a specialist, someone who knows, and ask what you'll need to do and when you should make those trips.
Right, so that's when you talk to Leo and ask him, you know, those kind of questions, like if you have that kind of situation where you are a business owner and you don't have W-2s, then just talk to Leo, because he can provide you with more guidance. You know, you give him a call at 818-389-6666, and you can also email, they can also email you, and they can contact you there. His email is leoj@houseamericahl.com, and HL stands for home loans, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
HouseAmericaHomeLoans.com. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And to kind of touch base on taxes, I know right now we're in the season where we're starting to file taxes.
Yes.
If your previous lender has already approved you based on, let's say, you're self-employed, based on 2020 and 2021 taxes, you're already pre-approved for a loan product, don't file your taxes just yet. If you're on the, of course, if you know you're not going to buy something for the next 9 months, then of course go ahead and file. But if you're in the next couple, you know, we still have plenty of time. Even you have extension options. If you've already qualified, don't bring a new equation into the table, right? So if you file your 2022, now we have to look at it, right? Let's say if the 2022 is less than 2021. Now we can only use your 2022 tax return. So now we have to use a less of an income, right?
Right, right.
Or even if it's higher, we don't just take the higher, we have to take the higher and average it out with 2021. So it may not help you as much as you think it is and give you buying power. And of course, if you file it, we have to wait till it's fully filed in the process so that we can get transcripts back from IRS. So you can definitely hinder the process or prolong it, or possibly even disqualify yourself by filing for your 2022 tax returns. If you haven't started the pre-qualification process, I would still say, you know, get in touch with the lender, since there's still plenty of time for taxes. Let's see if we need to get you pre-approved and get that ball rolling first, or you have to truly wait. If you truly did have a amazing year in 2022, then it may make sense for you, but let a professional take a look at it before you make that decision.
I think that's a very important notice that you're saying, because you know, if your income, or you believe your income is less this year, then I think it's always worth a try, you know, using your other 2 years, previous years, and see if that can qualify you for a home loan. But now, you know, I just wanna like just say to the audience, as you know, we also provide other kind of services, but you know, today we are speaking especially about the home financing part. Like when you're trying to buy a home, and what are the steps in the lending side, because that's for the lending side. But as you know, when you're buying a home, there is, or there are two other aspects, and there are other professionals involved too in the event that that happens. I'm so sorry, my cat just jumped into the table. I have a guest, unexpected. Anyway, so what I was trying to say is that, you know, when you are trying to buy a home, there are many other professionals involved, so everybody has to be on board, so they know, you know, how to help you, because the main goal for everybody involved is to, at the end of the road, be able to say that, you know, you are able to successfully close on this deal, successfully close on your home. And you know, on the side of the banking system, which is the lender side, they want to be able to give you that loan, you know. And on the side of the realtor side, we also want to be able to say at the end of the whole you know, system, to say, here's your key, now, you know, go enjoy your life with your family. So, you know, so I want to remind people, because sometimes people forget that this is a teamwork. You know, everybody has to be on
right.
a team. The family has to be on board. You know, both if you're married, you have to make sure your spouse or, you know, is on board too, because you don't want to start the whole process and then one of you is not on board and then the whole thing collapses. So that's another issue
right.
that you have to think about those things. So anyways, and I just want to give them one tip about, you know, how to gather their documents, because I know they have, you know, W-2s and all that that they need to provide. So a good system that I use personally is I buy at a Staples one of those folders that have dividers, like 12-month dividers, and every year I have one for every year. So I put everything there, so then if I need anything, it's easy accessible, you know. So, and then for my W-2s and my paychecks, when I used to work, you know, with the regular working institution, I scan all my items just in case, you know, if there was ever I needed it for something, then it was scanned and put in a USB drive or someplace in the computer, and that way I can always have it handy. So that's, you know, a tip that I'm just throwing out there. So if you're trying to buy a home and you need to gather your information, that might be a good way to save them. So go ahead, Leo.
Take pictures from me with your cell phone. We all have cell phones that you can create a folder, keep us that way, you know, on the spot. Let's say you're having a conversation with one, they're like, oh, how much did you make? Sometimes you know the range, but you don't know if it was 85, 83. If you have your W-2s there, you can always go back and say, oh, last year I made $86,000. You know? So it's always good to have it. You know, I personally like it on a cloud Dropbox type of app. You have a few of those type of items, important ones. So that way I can even remotely be able to access them and answer any questions if they were to pop up. But we're do what works best for you. You know, find what best works for you and definitely get organized. And yeah, it's a good practice to have, not just for home buying process, but I think being organized with your personal documents will definitely be a good step
That's
to succeed in all aspects. So being organized is definitely
That is right. Well, you know, guys, one more time, if you need to contact Leo to ask him about you want to buy a home, but you don't know where to start in the lending, you know, you want to get pre-approved and you want to see if you qualify, then give him a call, 818-389-6666. And he will tell you, tell you whether or not you can qualify. And then if for whatever reason, you know, there is something in the road, on the road, then he can tell you, you know, this you might need to do this, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then once you work with him, then you can have a better picture. And then, you know, we're always here to help you. So remember also that just because there might be something, you know, blocking your road right now, like, for example, even if you follow X, Y, and Z, and there is still something pending that you still need to do, so just know that we're still here to help you. So even, you know, if it's gonna take a little longer in the process, don't hesitate to call us or to contact us, because we're always here. This is the reason why we provide these services. We provide these free educational services, so because we want to be of service to the community and to the people. So now I think we are ready probably for the third step on how we can get our home, you know, and excited.
<Yeah. laughs> And this was my favorite one.
Save. Wow.
You know, that's if you're serious about purchasing, whether it's an investment property, you know, your job is always on the move. That doesn't mean you should never be a homeowner, right? You can always buy an investment property, still a safe investment option. No, it doesn't have to be your only avenue, but certainly a safe one that you should take advantage from.
Right.
If you're in the process of that, or you're not remotely thoughts of purchasing, it's important to save. What I mean by that is, you know, it's not just saving for down payment. And I think that's oftentimes everyone's is like, oh, I can't save up to 20% for a property that I want. So what's the point of me saving a little bit here and there? I'm never going to buy a house. Well, first of all, I'll debunk the biggest myth out there. 20% is not the only way to qualify for a mortgage.
Right.
Sure, you should save and you should have options, but when we say save, it's not just about having a savings account that amounts to $40,000 for your down payment. It could be just lowering your credit card payments, credit card balances, creating more cash flow for you. Let's say if you like to go every Friday and Saturday to a very nice restaurant and enjoy a nice dinner there, maybe for a short period of time, downgrade on the pricing of that restaurant, maybe, you know, make an event out of buying quality meat and food and everything from Whole Foods and making an event of cooking yourself at home and saving a lot by not paying for the luxury of a fancy restaurant's meal, you know, certain things that are not necessary, right? You have to pay your gas bill, you have to pay your auto payments, those things obviously goes without saying, but certain things that are more of a luxury item in your monthly budget, you may want to see where you can possibly kind of cut from temporarily. I'm not saying don't ever go eat at a fancy restaurant. We all enjoy a little bit of a good food and quality service.
Sure.
Of course, who wouldn't, right?
Yes.
But if you're committed in making other investment changes, it may require some sacrifice. And easiest way to find that is, what luxury items can I skip, right? Instead of flying over to Europe for 2 weeks, so maybe go to somewhere local, take a trip to some beautiful city in the U.S. That'll cost quarter of the cost of flying over to Europe and spending money there. So look ways where you can kind of shave from your monthly budget and see how much you can put away. Always keep in mind, outside of the down payment, there's always the closing cost that needs to be covered as well, outside of some home buying assistance programs that we have for first-time home buyers majority of the time. And if you're looking into LA or Los Angeles or Southern California or just California in general, good 2-4% is a safe bet to what you'll need as far as closing costs goes. Obviously, okay. Certain things are based on loan amount. So if you're buying a much bigger budget home, then it might be different than much smaller one. But general rule of thumb is have about 2-4% for your closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You obviously have to understand, outside of that, when you buy a property, that's 90% of them, majority of them are not furnished. So you have to keep in mind your expenses that will be with moving, whether you're, whether you already have those stuff and you just have to get that moved over there. It's going to require effort and possibly expenses there. Or if you have to furnish a brand new home, then that's a really high expense you have to keep in mind. If you were renting in a smaller place and not paying, utilities were included, no, they're not. You have to keep in mind, kind of get a feel, maybe even have your realtor ask the previous owners how much was their gas and water bill and electrical bill, right? If you're buying a home with a pool, your water and power bill is going to be much higher than someone who's buying a house without a pool, right? That
right.
pool filter is running quite a few hours a day. Summertime, you have a lot of water evaporate from your pool that you have to refill the pool with. So keep those type of expenses. It's not just that I bought the house and now I just have to make the monthly payment. Buying a house also does come with some extra. And of course, depending on the condition of the house you're buying, you may be required to do some maintenance work, right? We always recommend, especially now that it's a buyer's market, we certainly recommend buyers not to waive their inspection, right? So that after the price has been agreed upon with the seller, you can have a third-party professional inspector go in there and look under your house, look in your attic, look into the foundation, see if there's anything huge. Foundation is one of those things that can truly have a huge cost to repair if it's really outdated or if there's major issues with it. You want to make sure that your air conditioning heating system is always inspected during this process.
Right.
The condition of the piping, right? There's, the neighborhoods that are built in early 20s that some of the plumbing in the house is so old that you may need to replace them. So keep in mind that it's not just a down payment or down payment and closing costs. Buying a house comes with certain other things that you may, in some cases, have to pay for, in some cases, may not. So save as much as you can. One thing I know sometimes we try to, if you're not well understanding of some other requirements, you may try to eliminate the save and pay down certain things. I'll tell you, if you're trying to eliminate that from your, it's always a good idea to, again, speak with a lender to know which one will have the biggest impact, right?
Okay.
For instance, one thing not a lot of people know, for instance, if you have a car payment, it's an installment, so you're purchasing this car, not a lease, because when your lease is ending, it's, you know, you have to give that car back to the dealer. So you're, that the lender is going to assume you're going to, if they see a lease on your credit report with 7-8 payments left, they know that once that ends, you're going to have to get another lease because that car is going back. Versus when you're purchasing a car and the lender looks at your credit details and they see that there's 6-7 payments remaining, we can eliminate that debt from your account of debt to income ratio. Because we know that in 6 months, this car is paid off. We're looking at a third-year mortgage for you, right?
Right.
So it's not just about getting you out of the door in the next 30 days. It's about, can you make this payment for the next 30 years? So 6 more payments of a car payment, it's assumed, well, this car is going to be paid off in 6 months. You're going to hang on to it. Now you have a free car. So we are able to, if there's less than 10 payments made remaining on a installment loan, not a credit card or lease where we know that it's a recurring, we are able to eliminate that. That can go, it could be your car, it could be, let's say, a couple years ago, you added windows to some, you did upgrades around your current home, so you have some small loans, solar, whatever the case may be. If it's an installment loan, and less than 10 payments left, we are able to eliminate that from your debt to income ratio. So, you know, and the rules always change. So again, best thing to do is get with the lender. We currently offer you the credit improvement rescoring option free of cost to you. So we can pull your full credit, look at it, and even tell you what you need to do to improve that credit score without you having to pay a dime out of pocket. It's just part of our services that we provide as we explore home buying options for you. So certainly get in touch with us. We'll tell you based on current standards where you stand and what you'll need to do to improve and go from there.
Okay, well, that's very good. So I think our listeners and our audience, you know, everybody who will be joining this webinar and podcast on our social media, you know, they'll probably gain a lot of information and things that they probably may not be had be aware before. Maybe we touch on some topics that might help them, you know, if they are looking to buy a home. And like you said, you know, when you buy a home, it's not just you're not just buying a home, it's an investment that you're doing for life. So I think that's always important that you always think about the long run and understand that the homes eventually, you know, are gonna need some repairs or some services. So keep that in mind too, so you can also save away for those kind of expenses that come along the way sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know, this was a really interesting and very meaningful presentation, Leo. We appreciate your time. And I know, you know, our topic today, just to recap, was about three things you can do now if you were planning to buy a home. And so Leo talked to us and gave us three different things that were important. So one was we needed to watch our credit, right? And then the second one was we needed to be able to gather our information, and the information he's talking about is your employment information, all your financial information, and we can say it that way. And then The last one was about saving money. So not only saving money for the down payment, but you know, and in that we have to say there is the regular money that you save for the down payment, because banks need to know that you have certain, you know, money seasoning in the bank. Either, you know, you put it in your savings account or your checking account, or maybe you're gonna, you know, have it as a from your 401k or from some other plan, right? It's a retirement plan,
right.
So then they need to see that money sitting there. So sometimes, you know, you might not have a lot of money in your checking account or your savings account, but that doesn't necessarily mean you cannot afford to buy a home, because you might have already saved, let's say, the 10% or 20% of down payment, or 3% if you're using an FHA loan. Maybe you already have it sitting down on your retirement account. So many people don't know that is legal, you know, and there is legal according to IRS code that you can use, you know, money for buying your first time home buyer, and using some of your money from retirement. So, but you know, as always, we always mention in these conversations, because they are all educational. So we are saying, our disclosure is always, please always gather, you know, with your team of experts, your financial advisor, your CPA, and anybody on your investment team, so they can give you and provide you with the ways that you need to do things. But we're just, you know,
absolutely,
telling you that those things exist and those things are legal to do, but you need to go find out, you know, how you can do them properly and legally, and, you know, following the law. And so, but you know, there are many ways you can get started. So, and Leo has other programs, not just, you know, the regular conventional programs, but he also has first-time home buyers, right? Down payment assistance home buyers. So then, you know, there is a lot of things that he can help you with. So if you want to talk to him, call him 818-389-6666, and that's his mobile number. So now I, you know, wanted to say we thank you for your time, Leo, and we hope that our audience learned, and I think they learned a lot today, and probably you provided a lot of things to think about. So, so I think this was a really good conversation, and I want our followers, you know, you have social media, Leo?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram. Instagram is my first and last name, except Leo has two O's. So it's Lee, L-E-O-O, Jordan. Should be able to find me. Of course, Blanca will stay to hers. We're both connected on Instagram. So
yes,
if you aren't able to find me and already have her, you can go through the people she follows, and you'll be able to find me there as well. You can have my cell phone number here, 818-389-6666. My email is leo.j@houseamericahl.com, Leo Jordan on LinkedIn, and then Lee, L-E-O-O, Jordan, and for Instagram. I work with a laptop when I'm at the office, but I have a full dual screen set up at home as well, so I can work just as comfortably. So if you need to, oftentimes I know it's not easy for especially corporate world employees, for them to have couple hours free within the 5 o'clock. I think what distinguishes me from your Chase or Bank of America type of employee, normally they're off limits after 5 p.m. There's no off limit for me. Obviously, if it's past, let's say, 10 o'clock, I may be asleep, but otherwise,
you're available.
I have a quick question. Right. Otherwise, I'm always available. I can go to my home office, full setup. I'll be able to comfortably tell you and answer any questions you may have, or any concern, we can address any concerns you may have.
Okay, well then, you know, now I just want to let our listeners to us, you know, the people who are following us, you can follow us also on social media, Blanca Professional Service. And or you can go to our website too, blankaprofessionalservices.com. And we are a real estate and financial planning company or educational company. So if you need assistance, like the way Leo was saying, you know, trying to find out, you know, what do you have, if you're budgeting your money right, or you need a financial planning, you know, like financial services, you know, we provide those services too. So keep us in mind, just in case you need those services. And of course, you know, we will talk to you next time, and we'll have another exciting topic, Leo.
Absolutely, looking forward to it.
Okay, well then, thank you everybody for coming today and spending 1 hour of your time with us, and I hope this was informational, educational, and also something that you can use for your daily life, and you can pass this information to others too, because you know, we want to expand, and we want to also let other people know about our services, not just our services, you know, but also for them to know that these resources exist for them, and so they can take advantage of either, you know, could be a financial product, or could be a, you know, something from the lending industry, you know, it could be from a housing, there are so many different things. So, and you know, these programs that we're putting together, we're trying to bring different speakers with different topics that could make things, you know, for your knowledge and for all kinds of stuff. So that's our goal. So, so Leo is here and he's helping us, and I hope you guys connect with him on social media too as well. So Leo, we'll say goodbye to you, and thank you for coming over and speaking with us today.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Okay. I'll see you guys. Bye-bye.